thanks for taking time out of your busy day to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Hey. Yeah. How about a group hug?
Yes. Yes.
Took a while.
Fuck that. Angel wash. Fuck that. This affection just leads to more sorrow. The Debbie Downer song. There.
Hell, I'm in the right place.
I'm feeling better
I'm
already.
Feeling really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The I stopped taking calls from my mom, Sangha.
The Russells get back on the phone.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
He's got phone privileges again. I'm like, oh.
Oh.
I didn't miss that.
I see. Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
So they let him out of his therapeutic isolation, right?
He's at on administrative something or other. I don't know what it is. It's a new one.
Administrative good behavior.
Yeah.
Well, we need representatives and all places and walks of life.
I guess I should have put it. Do you have one? Are you going away?
Yeah.
Are you going?
Lewisburg, Massachusetts. Pennsylvania. We're in Pennsylvania, right? Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.
For
family. It's a family event. It's a niece is graduating from college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Is it hard for like a 60-year-old guy to score a nickel bag from a college kid? You'd be careful, right? Get in trouble. Yeah, I know. Well, what do you want to talk about?
What do you talk about? I don't know what the fuck's going on.
No, that's a quick topic.
Is it senility?
Yeah, that's right. It's senility.
Dementia?
Yeah. It's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a feeling there's some more information coming about Byron Katie.
More information?
What happened with Maggie and Byron Katie.
Oh, really? You're going to get some insight into that?
Yep.
What happened?
Fuck, I love guru gossip.
One of the things that I picked up on that...
I'm sorry. I think I'll reject this call.
Must be your mother.
Probably the lottery.
Mother's
calling
to tell you she
yeah, she heard me.
She thinks that it's you. Oh, it didn't matter, but I thought
that was. Really? What a bummer. Okay, so, yeah, go
big,
ahead.
Big difference between the woman on stage versus the woman off stage.
Oh, that's so surprising. I'm flimmed.
And, just no openness really to work with more advanced people. I don't want to say advanced, but like she really likes beginners. And
uh-huh.
People that had been in the process for a long time and like culture that's created.
Yeah.
It's interesting because for me, like something turned a switch and I was out. Something turned a switch. It was like, I'm done. I'm not doing it. Like done.
Right.
The switch turned. I knew to not be there anymore.
Right.
But some people didn't quite have that experience.
And have they been around as long as you?
The person I'm But it seems like she's going to be putting out some more information about this. She was saying she was going to. Is somebody that was seriously in the inner circle.
What's her interest in putting out more, call it an insider?
I actually think it's probably to serve people that have been sort of part of that
wounded
machine.
Yeah, wounded by the machine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Wounded by the machine. So, yeah, that's right.
That's all it does.
So, yeah, what else can it do? Wounded by the machine. Hi, welcome to this planet. You'll be wounded by the machine. Yeah, well, you can see it.
But, you know, when the machine is under a spiritual guise, it's fodder for a night sky discussion.
Oh, it is, yeah, that's right.
You know, there's once,
everything
the machine
is
under other guys.
So, no, it's all the same.
It's definitely fodder for a spiritual discussion.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, about your conditioner.
Okay. Oh.
So, that's it, or there's more?
There's more coming.
More coming.
Yep.
Well, you folks at home, you want to stay posted right here to learn the newest news about the inside shtick of Byron Katie.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for more spiritual gossip.
Right.
Wounded by the machine.
What's one of those popular magazines that's
that? Shambhala Sun.
No, no, the trashy one from the grocery store.
The National Enquirer.
Yeah. Her page in the National Enquirer.
Just another spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Byron Katie.
Yeah, I had exposure to somebody that had bad yoga cult kind of experience.
He
kind of called the leader on something and got pretty much ostracized from the leader and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
This was a community she'd been in for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and right.
She was, like, still reeling from it.
Yeah, sure. It hurts.
Yep.
Yeah.
I personally never get close enough to anybody to actually get hurt tonight.
Smart move. That's right. The keep your distance sangha.
That's it.
Fuck off and keep your distance.
Hey, we're going to have hugs today. We're doing hugs today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the new definition for compassion. Fuck off and keep your distance.
Do you remember this? Fuck you.
That's right.
Do you remember?
That's a nice
one. We'd be so happy if everybody incorporated that into their daily.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
You remember?
And keep, you know, like personal space. That's all.
You mean no mob scenes in the parking lot?
It's just simple.
Protection for,
In order to attract people, right, ordinary spiritual aspirants, into a thing, you have to create a thing. That's what you know. Well, let's call it innate consciousness is attracted to. It's attracted to the appearance of a thing. Something that it can belong to, right? Align with, feel protected by, or to have one's identity massaged, even if it's the identity of seeking non-identity, right? Yeah. So when you've got that many people milling around, it's a thing. And it's a machine.
It's a big machine.
And so people are going to get wounded by the machine, by the thing, because the thing is unreal. Like one's own persona is unreal. One's own sense of individuated identity is unreal. It's a hypnotic suggestion. So when you create a big thing, it's unreal. It's a hypnotic suggestion. Now, it may be full of, you know, pay-as-you-go catharsis. And there's nothing wrong with pay-as-you-go catharsis. I mean, fuck, what else are we doing, you know? If you're not getting your jollies at the bowling alley.
Or with caterpillar
fungus. Or with caterpillar fungus, as an aphrodisiac. then go do the work. I mean, or anything, you know? And you're gonna end up, you're going to end up either being admiring of that thing, that machine, for as long as you can, or if you're lucky, the machine will wound you. Then you get out.
Done. It came from inside of me.
That's another way to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. however you get thrown out of the machine, you know, whether it's a lighthearted, I'm just done, or whether it's, you know, whoa, a great betrayal.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It wasn't even necessarily lighthearted. It was a holy fuck.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. There's this big gaping hole, but I just know I'm not doing this anymore.
That's right. Well, the other thing that happens is, so on this trajectory called my demise, in the earlier stages, I get aligned with a thing that gives me some goodies, gives me some feedback, right? Helps me. But typically what I'm bringing to the table is, let's just call it the shadows of the wounded self that's looking for some kind of amelioration or spiritual, you know, goodies. So that, therefore, you bring an old encrusted part of yourself to that interface and get what you get. So as you mature or unfold and no longer need to bring that inertia of self to the table, then the tool that you've used also becomes, right, no longer useful, because whoever you thought you were that got something from the tool is now graduated from that. So then you put the tool down. Yeah. Now maybe, so like if one comes to a thing like Byron Katie or whatever early, then you put the tool down because you've moved on. If you come to it later in your stage, then it might satisfy you in a different way, because the you that has shown up to engage with whatever it is now from a different, you know, point of view. Mm-hmm. But if it turns out that, I mean, like, Byron Katie is a machine. She's created a machine. And machines are great, and they can only go so far. I mean, what you want someone to discover, if you're, let's say, altruistically inclined rather than financially inclined, right? What you want someone to discover is their own autonomy. That's the gift, and it's not your gift to give. And so you're free. You don't end up in some kind of codependency, because the gift is your own autonomy, and it's no one else's gift to give it to you than your own discovery. So you're not dependent on anything or anyone. But you have to put down all machines for that to blossom. Because as long as you're machine dependent, your identity that brings you in relationship to the machine is a false one. And it has to go, or it's gonna go. You can't be dependent any longer on a machine. You know, any machine.
So would you suppose that perhaps, maybe, there could come a time.
Comes a time when a blind man takes your hand.
The machine is going home. Like,
nano machines.
Machines are taking them.
They won't have any part of you. Like, it's like.
Well, yeah.
Pulling in.
That's
you
right.
You want to.
That's right. Yes, sure. Yeah, you're in a.
You
well, that, you know, you're. Yeah, you end up in a parallel universe as a solo artist.
Well, or just an idiot, you know, who doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
That's the same.
You know?
They're the same. You end up in a solo parallel universe that's only inhabited by you.
Because everything I think or try these days, it seems, it's just such a. It just evaporates in front of me.
Yes, everything evaporates.
Like,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of fun to let's say glimpse the immediacy, the intimacy of that evaporation.
But it is making me angry. You know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Sure. Why not?
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Because you want meaning, right?
I don't know. I don't have. I get frustrated.
Yeah.
I tend to be unable to make a choice because everything seems to be. I don't know what's really going on. Everything seems to just be a dead end. I can't go anywhere. Like, fuck. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You're just left with yourself. No escape.
Well, I actually do feel as though I'm being revealed, let's say, the whatever is still there is coming up and protesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're being picketed.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. All is evaporating. You can't put your finger on anything except through the fallibility of imagination. That's the nature of present experience.
I become like keenly aware of the I don't know, the self, let's say. The self wants this, wants that.
Yeah.
Fuck, god damn it, shit.
You just know? To name a few, yeah.
That's
me. Sure. Well, you know, it's, I mean, of course it's kind of a rough, you know, road when you're confronted with, you know, this curious juxtaposition between everything evaporating and still, let's say, trying to put down stakes. Yeah, I mean, that is obviously going to be frustrating. You could say most of our ordinary mind is not recognizing, is not seeing intimately the evaporative nature of consciousness and what appears in consciousness. Ordinary mind has got a good thing going. Even if you're pissed off, even if you're angry, even if you're upset, you've got a story, you've got a scenario, you've got an event, you've got a future, you've got a past.
Indignation.
Yeah, you've got something to work with. And so you're not really seeing the dangerous side of your own consciousness, which is the evaporative nature of present experience. You're not seeing it. So you're glad to have things to be happy about or angry about or plans or whatever, because that satisfies one sense of, you know, I'm durable.
Give me something.
Yeah, I'm durable. I got something. You know, I can exercise magical powers like choice and preference, appointments. I can exercise magical powers. Fuck you. I got this. And so what you're not seeing is that, you know, right here, like right now, not that there is a right here and right now, because there really isn't a right here and right now. There's just this streaming ephemera that is evaporative and refreshing at the same moment. You know, refreshing evaporation. It doesn't go away, but the past is imagination, the future is imagination, so you think, well, at least I have the present. Well, I'm sorry, no, you don't. You don't have the present. You can't actually be present. It's kind of like not possible to be here now, because there is no such thing. We think of be here now, it seems like it's kind of a static destination. Oh, here now. Gone. Here now. Sorry. There is no here now, so there's no way to be here now. I mean, it was kind of a fun book when it came out, you know, and the LSD and the drawings and stuff were cool, but Ram Dass is a fucking idiot. You know, I mean, he's a, you know, senior citizen, I guess, deserving of our affection and respect, and he's a fucking idiot. Yeah. I mean, spiritually speaking, he's, you know...
He's a fucking idiot?
He's a fucking idiot. He's a goober.
I'm kind of glad to hear that.
He's a goober loser. And yet, you know, and yet he's beloved by many, and that's wonderful. Good for him. It's another machine, right? Ram Dass is a machine. Yeah. It's a course.
He's had a great place.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It's a machine. Neem Karoli Baba is a machine. The way that he's worshipped by those that worship him, and the way that they worship him, and his ashrams, and the books, and the bandaras, and all that stuff, and, you know, la-da-da-da. And, of course, I have no quarrel with Neem Karoli Baba. You know, he'll kick me from here till, you know, kingdom come. But it's a machine. It's an idea. This dependency, a dependency on a sadguru, a dependency on Brahman, dependency on an avatar, dependency on whomever is what? It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's a machine. It's bound to disappoint you. You're not going to be happy being dependent, even on the highest. If you're dependent on the highest, you're not going to be happy because you're the highest. The highest can fuck off because you're the highest. If you're dependent on something that you think is higher or better or more advanced than you, you're a beggar. You're an idiot. Which is fine.
This is a beggar's banquet.
It's a beggar's banquet. That's the thing. We fracture inside so quickly, so surreptitiously, that we create the imagination of some authority greater than me. Authority over what? Exactly. Spiritual authority? Nirvikalpa Samadhi authority? JYN authority? Great happiness? What? Fuck that.
Most people are looking for mommy and daddy.
Well, there you go. I mean,
yeah,
you do see.
I mean, sure, large babies.
It's a king baby cult.
I know.
King baby cult trying once again to Oedipally consummate with the parental figure of your choice. Yeah. You know. Good luck. So this turns out to be about nothing. Or if it is about something, then you've made that up. If it's about something, you've made that up.
And wouldn't that also apply to the somethings that I get frustrated about not
yeah.
being able to pursue?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, the urgency for exercising vital powers of self.
God damn it.
Why not? You want to exercise the vital powers of self, and so that means you want to demonstrate, manifest, mm-hmm. express, figure something out, get a thing, win in one way or another, and that becomes frustrated.
That, because you normally don't want to just do that. If it's just you, that's not going to work. You want it to be validated. You know, like you have to show someone else and get some kind of recognition back.
Yep.
Otherwise.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so and that goes back to that same, you know, dependency issue. You're dependent on validation or vetting or justification in the eyes of others, whether it's a parental figure or, you know, a spouse.
Lawyer or anybody.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I play by the rules.
Okay.
I don't want the heat of not fitting in.
Fine.
There's some kudos. Some
yeah.
stuff you get from playing the game.
That's right.
Well, I learned that with that, you said, grab a dog leash.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
How'd that go?
I only did it at home.
Okay.
But it was enough.
Yeah, I bet.
It was like, wow. And that's what probably got me into this terrible state I'm in.
Good.
Now.
There you go.
Don't ever wear the dog leash. Don't go there. JB, you don't even want to hear.
You have to go to the next.
All you're doing is playing games with yourself about everything all day. So it's like, yeah. If you make up a game that seems very different than your normal game.
That's right.
Snickers. All her little things hanging on. From dog ahead. Legal license. But what it told me is I am not free, and that's fucking big lie that I think I'm free. I'm not free.
Okay. Dog leash success.
Would I go out in public with that dog leash? No.
Right.
And why
right.
not?
Right.
Bullshit.
Right.
All bullshit.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
I should be going out and it's fine. The people can look and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. Cheers.
I wouldn't mind with not being free as much as the fact that I thought I was.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you may very well be. You just, you know.
Well, yeah.
You just got something else on the fire.
Back and forth.
Who knows?
Well, you know, I always thought I was a decider, but, you know, I think I just set things up and just do whatever comes naturally, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm not deciding anything. Mm-hmm. No decisions, you know, I just sort of do. I may obsess on it, but there's no real decisions.
Yeah, the mental obsession is kind of superfluous. You do what you do.
But, man, I'm I'm heavy into that. It just won't, you know, go.
What about no thoughts? No thoughts.
No thoughts. Well, if I'm going to sleep. Okay. But, you know, I don't do it 24 hours a day.
Okay. From a yogic perspective, you are, one is quite a radioactive bundle of energy. You're really quite radioactive. And we need to learn how to enjoy your own innate radioactivity. That's what's going on. You're radioactive. You are just on fire. And this fire will manifest as, right? Right? Activity. The activization of fantasy. The activization of fantasy is because you're radioactive. So rest in your radioactivity
rather than try to direct it in some way.
That's right, without becoming a pawn to imagination. Here we are, resting in radioactivity, which is, you know, you can't escape, you can't shake it. Mindfulness, Bill. It's very insistent.
Well, as an analogy, sort of an analogy, I mean, for some reason I always like to talk about going to sleep. But, you know,
that's how I used to get girls.
Hey, you want to go to sleep?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
It works really well. Really. Older girl. Works,
yeah, really.
Girl.
Yeah, really. Older girl, yeah.
I can sleep anytime.
Yeah, yeah. Nap? Fantastic.
Or me. Wait, take a nap? Okay.
But, you know, when the head, like, all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, I started to, like, you know, put energy behind this illusion of all these different things that
yes.
going on. And it's like, shit, now I screwed up, you know, because as soon as you put the energy there, that energy's out there. And it's, I find it difficult to retract from that or to apply it in any other way, and so I end up getting less sleep. And
well, it has its own momentum.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Right. The reflex of one's radioactivity is to conjure.
And, like, we've been kind of trained to try to stay in a little box. Like, I should get a certain amount of sleep so I feel well, so I can do my job tomorrow. So
yep.
So I can be productive.
Yeah. You should put on your dog leash and go out to the all-night diner.
I'll tell you what.
I'll see how it works for everybody else. For
guaranteed you'll learn something.
I wear a dog leash?
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure I'll learn something. Is it worth learning?
I think it probably is. I didn't go out in public, so I have no room to talk, but I suspect it would be
the place. All I'd have to do is wear it around the house. That would be enough.
It is, actually. I think so.
Yep. Well, you know, we fancy ourselves being, you know, kind of clever. Like we've made it through our adult life this far, pretty much fooling everyone. Har har. And then when you're challenged, let's say, with a little, you know, exercise, calls your the facade, your patina into question, you can get really irritable and worked up. You know, you can see what a poser you are.
Yeah.
When the momentum, the comfort field of your psychic and behavioral momentum is challenged somehow. even in a playful way. Yeah. Not necessarily in an insulting way. In a playful way, you're like, whoa. See what, you know, rises up to protect your dignity. Why not? It doesn't suggest that you're free or not free, or it doesn't really suggest anything. It's just, you know.
It's like stimulus response.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Yeah, poser is a good word.
Yeah, poser turns out to be a pretty good word.
I always find it whatever. When I realize I'm something I didn't think I was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, you're nothing at all.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
And so you can, by virtue of being nothing at all, you can wear any mask you want to.
It doesn't matter, so you just pay no attention to it. It's weird.
Yeah.
You're in like full expression, but not really paying any attention to it. In a weird way.
There it goes again.
You know, the yogic process, regardless of the culture, is you bring all this expressive energy to a close, or you start to draw inwardly, right? So this means instead of acting out or acting in or creating big stories or getting on stage or whatever it is, you're starting to attend to the geometry, the dynamics, the energy, the felt sense of consciousness, presence. That's right. So the yogic gesture is bring it in. Then you will notice, like someone beginning a course in mindfulness, let's say, just how restless and crazy and erratic and erotic and avoidant and how much denial is present in your so-called default consciousness, which you'll never notice unless you actually take a cushion, let's say. And so few people will even take to a cushion as, again, a playful experiment, because they don't want to notice. They don't want to see what they're made of. They want to continue dwelling in the ruse of self-determinism, skillful self-determinism, miserable or otherwise. So when you start to reel in your radioactive nature, you start to see what a fraud you are, what a poser you are, how you are appearing so impulsively, and how there's not nearly as much room for choice and self-determinism as you once thought you had or were made of. And then you continue. Well, then you continue to notice and be somehow nourished by your own radioactivity. And now that is, if you're trying to negotiate with your own radioactivity as a creature functioning in the world, you're going to hit all kinds of crises, all kinds of walls, all kinds of dead ends, all kinds of wounds and betrayals by the machine. Yeah. And that's cool, too. I mean, you know, why not a several decades of that, several lifetimes of that? Big fuck, who cares? But we're just looking at the process of withdrawing from the ruse of the world. You start to settle into your own radioactivity, you're still going to be, you know, the vestigial impulses of acting out and acquiring and aversion and attraction. You know, they run pretty deep, you know. They're in a good groove. It's not so easy to just say, you know, I'm done with attraction and aversion. Yeah, good luck. Right. You know, you're already too late just by making the statement. Oh, you're too late. You've already lost. So you start to bake. And this radioactivity is, I dare say, intolerable.
You bake when every road, like you said, is a dead end. That's when you start to bake, when you start to get that every road is a dead end, and you want to run, they're all dead end roads.
Yeah. Yeah. Your radioactivity is intolerable to you. And that's why we spin yarns. and diffuse and distract and act out and act in and tell stories and create grandiosity where there is nothing, where there is none. So you're reorienting, you know, again in a shamanic or yogic or a transmutative way, how to relate to your own profound radioactivity. And learn through life and exercises like this one how to tolerate your own radioactivity, to how to rest in your own radioactivity without having to conjure anything, close anything, correct anything, figure anything out, be clever or wise or compassionate even. That's for Buddhists. Buddhists are idiots. And there's a lot of them. Yeah. You know. This is the fact. What's the fact? The fact is the presence of your own radioactivity. That's the fact. Everything else is imagined by you. You're the one that's drawing the, you know, connecting the dots in presuming that there's a world in which you are inhabiting it as a disparate creature. This is all imagined. It's a ruse. The only thing that's so is this radioactivity, this profundity, which is not nothing, but it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. It seems to get so real and so important.
On a dime, on a nickel, on a paisa. Yeah. So see, what's happening is that you could say the somatic flavor and the emotive and psychological flavors are in a right. Yeah. They're on a ride. It's a joyride. They're on a joyride. In other words, you've created a context in which you're appearing as someone suffering from attraction and aversion, from future and consequence. You know, or shame or regret, which is why we like to go out and eat, because shame and regret is good to, you know, mitigate with food.
Especially when all they're serving is like pizza and dairy
cheese. High calorie.
I know. Chili dogs and ice cream.
Yeah.
Just a break from the
Oh, God.
You know, careful if you eat one, she's going to want a foot massage. I mean, it's really curiously, strangely simple. You don't need the Course in Miracles to appreciate this. You don't need the Course in Love to appreciate this. You don't need nothing to appreciate the radioactivity of your own presence. And you don't need to dilute it by telling some fucking story about some channeled shit that apparently Jesus told some Jewish gal who was a frustrated therapist. And now we got another fucking machine, right? And a bunch of machine operators. Yeah. Course in Miracles, Course in Love is a machine and a bunch of machine operators. And what are you going to find there? You're just going to find the imagination of who you take yourself to be in relationship to the imagination of whatever the fuck that thing is. Believe me, Jesus had nothing to do with the Course in Miracles. He could give a fuck. And if he did have something to do with it, it would be really, really, really thin. And he would say, "You're a fucking idiot.
You guys are all fucking idiots.
You guys are all fucking idiots. Chill out."
So stupid.
It wouldn't be this thick. It would be really simple and street vernacular. You know?
Chill out and have actual food and...
Chill out. That's right. And by the way, the lamb curry is on special.
Wasn't it supposed?
Let's go down to Habib's and get the lamb curry.
Wasn't Course in Miracles supposed to be a correction? Like, okay, you misunderstood the original message. Here it is. Again, let me try.
Well, a miracle is a shift in perception. Yeah. A correction to your perception, but I don't believe.
Really? I thought that it was more or less Jesus saying,
"Sorry about that Bible thing. Really sorry about that Bible thing. Let me set this shit straight.
You missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to miss it again.
There's actually a book, Neil Donald Walsh, who did the Conversations with God.
Yeah.
Well, it's God saying whatever, and basically what God said is, you've got it all wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody has said, if you can summarize all those volumes.
That's all they do is make books telling us that we've got it all wrong. We're sinners. We suck. We got it all wrong.
Get used to it.
Now I don't have to read the book.
Thank goodness. When you see, again, from this, I'm going to refer to it again as a yogic perspective, when you see the geometry and the engine of consciousness and how all the content is vaporware. All the content is vaporware. All of the content is vaporware. There's nothing to get.
But you can't really see that when you're part of the content. I mean, if you see yourself as part of the content.
When you're living
perspective.
When you're living with pride of self.
Yeah, it depends. Cause you
then everything is about everything, or at least about you.
But if it's not really about you, like, you can see yourself shifting in and out of either, it doesn't matter. And you're like, whatever, I can have a lot of opinions and see that they're all bullshit at the same time.
Well, sure. That's right. Yeah, we're not aiming for some kind of exalted behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be your curmudgeonly self. Wear your dog collar at home or in public. It's cool.
I feel that I should wear it in public so that I'm not like a hypocrite. But
Well, like I said, you can wear it. You can wear it under.
It could be a fashion. I could start something.
We could start a fashion thing.
Wait, does the dog collar have a leash?
No. It's kind of a big collar and it has all the little tags. Stickers tags.
It actually looked. I thought it looked pretty good on me. Raquel Welsh can wear these chokers around her neck.
Well, Raquel Welsh could look just fine.
No, I mean now.
We're having a Raquel Welsh break.
Jamie is fantasizing currently.
What?
You want to go to sleep.
Dating yourself, pal.
Would you like to go to sleep naked with me?
Are we back to sleep again?
This time it's naked with Raquel Welsh. It's different.
Yes, please.
There are always exceptions.
What keeps the myth of identity going is interest in the identity. So every one of these things that you can buy and purchase and get enrolled in, whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or yoga or Byron Katie or the Course in Miracles or the Course in Love, is just a celebration of the myth of your identity. I mean, the course is cool when you see it goes right to the bottom line. It does. It goes right to the bottom line. But we just ignore that and then run amok through the lessons and how they apply to me. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, no. You're fucking zero, dude. Mm-hmm. Your happiness is the revelation of zero. Like, oh, that's really cool. Well, now let's do some lessons. Right? That's what we're doing all the time. This is nothing, which is not nothing. It's radioactive for sure. It's absolutely beyond our wildest imagination. And it's right here at hand. Done. That's that. And it is strange, of course, to rest in your own radioactivity without avoidance, denial, deferral, acting in, acting out, putting on a show for yourself, right?
Fear,
everything. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Celebrating yourself, condemning yourself, somewhere on that continuum, right? You're like, no, I don't think so. No condemnation. No celebration. No plans. Nothing to resolve. And as you hang out in the flavor of this being as it is, you can't easily reanimate the myth of self, or by getting a palpable break from the myth of self, you might discover kind of a, let's say, a different slice of reality. Not that there is reality, because how could there be? Reality would mean there's a machine. So this is not a machine. It may look mechanistic in its, you know, expression, in its 3, 4, or 5th, or nth dimensional expression. But as you really sink into the ephemeral nature of your own radioactivity, it's not a machine. And the habit or the reflex of the neocortex to suggest identity and run with it doesn't need to be predominant.
You know, it seems like everything that we're talking about as far as the machine or the world or whatever has to do with this neocortex type of thing. You know, It's like all this radioactivity, that's all just like, it seems to me, stuff. And stuff, by stuff I mean like vibes and
yes,
energies and all that jazz that's happening
right
within the brain, you know, it's a
be careful.
Mind function.
Be careful with that. I mean, I'm not insisting that it's untrue or true, but go back to the vibe. The vibe is clear. There's no confusion with the vibe. Oh. So that's where you rest, in the intimacy of the radioactivity. Once you conjure, you know, what you think is responsible for the vibe, that's fantasy.
Sure.
Or to think that vibration is the consequence of being corporeal, having a body or a mind.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of the vibe being more of a deficit, sweeping away all the other stuff.
Yes.
This stuff is jazz that's going on, and this is more of a sinking into it without.
Yes, that's right. The signature of your radioactivity is unperturbed by noise. Mm. Yeah. That's right. That's the simple discovery. Oh. This is radioactive? That's odd, it's not saying a thing. And feeling it, oh yeah, this is pretty radioactive. Well, fuck me, it's not saying a thing. If that's not a testimonial for the revelation of not self, we may as well go shopping again and find some other evidence. Now, the curious, you know, fun adventure that is present with this is that, you know, you discover, whoa, the irrefutability of presence. Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, this is actually present. it's not being drowned out by your plans or imagination or closure or anything that you got going on mentally or psychoactively. Like, fuck me, this is present. This is just... And you're not befuddled by some imaginary duality. Or even have to get to the bottom of it from a causative point of view. This is complete. And everything that occurs in, call it, you know, noticeable phenomena, is at the pleasure of this intimacy. So the intimacy, or our encounter, our relishing of the intimacy, is easily distracted by what we will call noise in the system, which is the myth of the continuity of self, dwelling in a frenzied way in an imaginary, virtual world of circumstances, events, consequences, and time.
And I think the higher the more intense the frenzy,
yeah,
more chance that you won't notice presence.
That seems to be, you know, yeah.
So if things get ratcheted up when, let's just say, truth is coming at you, and you're like, ah, I gotta go do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Sure, it's very interesting to see. It might be impossible, just for fun, to notice the genesis of arising. Because by the time, and this is remarkably nanoed, it might not be any delay. If there's no delay, then you can't actually notice the genesis of arising because you're already arisen. So you think you can kind of hang out, you know, like a cat and pray, you know? I'm just going to sit here really quiet and I'm going to see when I arise. Not happening.
It could happen, though, let's say spontaneously. You could get a taste of that. Just
what you can get a taste of.
Been looking for it.
Yes. What, just for fun. I mean, these are just, you know, philosophical, you know, dials and, you know, whistles. There's nothing here. But just for fun, what you can discover is the intimacy. You can discover this intimacy which has nothing to say. And you can hang out in this intimacy which has nothing to say. It's not beholding to any authority.
Which is, I think, my mind, what non-dualism is, I think. That's how it's hitting me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, non-dualism is an idea that...
So if there's no duality, then you're...
No, reverse it. There's this intimacy. Mm-hmm. Non-duality can fuck off.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Duality and non-duality become fetishized ideas used by Advaitists, Buddhists, and their like, all of whom should get on a rocket ship and get off my planet.
make it so.
Make it so, number one. Load them up.
Mars will be visible to them.
Yeah, that's right. Know. You guys, why don't you get on that rocket ship and go be non-dual someplace else? You see, this intimacy that says nothing, that's it, man. You can't even say it's true. And to refer to it as non-dual or anything like that is like, please don't call it, please don't say anything. Don't call it anything because then you've created a machine again. You're back in the machine. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be betrayed by your own imagination. people push all these just terminology around, and the terminology is beautiful. Sanskrit's beautiful, and Pali is beautiful, and Hebrew is beautiful, and, you know, German in its own way is beautiful, right? It's a little too long, but, you know, it has its moments. But they don't mean anything. Your presence, your capacity for intimacy, for sensation, for inhabiting the radioactivity of your own nature, of your own presence, is autonomous. It's completely autonomous. It's not dependent on anything. That's it. Everything else just is a million forms of neuroticism. It's a fun exercise. You can hear when you're thinking, right? When we're involved in thought, in identity, in rumination, in arising, and the metabolic output of arising. Who's talking? You're fucking talking, right? You're the one who's fucking talking. Who's talking? Well, you're talking. Maybe, probably not out loud, but you're the one who's talking, and curiously, you're the one who's listening to yourself talking about horseshit. No one else is talking. It's just fucking you talking. Right? Yeah. So then just ask yourself, excuse me, the fuck is talking right now? And the answer is going to be, well, I am. I'm fucking talking. And then you can simply go, yep, that's right. Why don't you shut the fuck up? Oh, okay.
But doesn't it seem like there are two people? I mean, when you're talking and you're telling yourself something, you hear yourself as a different person.
You're thinking, talking, imagining, and doing the listening and replying to what you're saying, and then repeating it or coming up with some other fucking idea, and then you reply to that. Yeah, that's
but
right.
I mean, it hits a different part.
It's fucking crazy.
You're just this totally disconnected, you know, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In this compressed package.
Well, you don't. Again, you're not quite sure what it is. You know, I respect all the conclusions and findings that you have, mm-hmm. but don't have any.
No. Conclusions.
Yeah.
You're just grasping at straws.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, because you don't. Yeah, because we don't know what's occurring.
I just know that sometimes I'll have to actually say something.
Yeah.
So that I can hear it.
Sure.
And that'll, like, further me.
Oh, my God. Poetry.
Yes. Sorry. Why not?
You know, I mean, but really, I mean, I'll say it, and when I hear it out loud, somehow, or if I'm, especially if I'm explaining it to somebody.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, it sort of gets me past the point. So there's something that, even though it might be inside, I express it, and I hear it as something different.
Of course.
Seemingly.
So, the point I'd like to reiterate, not that it needs to be, this isn't saying anything. Instead of listening to yourself, which is a kind of a myopic, right, compulsivity, right? Being really fond of the shit that you're thinking, and then the shit that you think about what you're thinking, and then what you feel about the way you're thinking or what you're feeling, is just a myopic enterprise. It's totally neurotic. And I'm not putting anyone down, hopefully, because I don't know anyone that seems not to do that. So it's cool that it's totally neurotic. And even Gary Weber, the fucking liar that he is, does it too. Mr. No Thoughts. I don't have any thoughts. Glenn, why don't you go out and get the pizza then?
I can.
Yeah. So this, again, the presence of thoughts or the absence of thoughts means nothing. It's like non-duality. You know? Who gives a fuck? If there's something of value, and of course the value is up to you, hopefully it's not up to anybody else. Is this saying anything? I don't hear it. Maybe you do. Maybe some psychics and mediums hear all kinds of shit. But who knows whether that's some other weird tweak of their own internal noise or whether they're hearing, you know, the mighty Quinn actually saying something to them.
That's why it's so hard to get them so fucking quiet.
Radioactivity can be curiously quiet and curiously loud.
Because it's all saying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, the impressions that are pouring in, whether through the sense windows or other subtle, you know, call it sensitivities that we have no words for, are all screaming. They're all vying for attention. They love, you could say everything loves to make an imprint on you, because that gives it life.
Yeah, it's the only thing it does.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's nice to find, you could say it's nice to find, call it a portal, where you can put yourself away. Wow. I don't have a word to say about this. It's not saying a damn thing. I don't have to compete with anyone, including myself or the imagination of myself, for attention, validation, security. Not a thing. But it's not a destination, right? It's just what's always so, which is a little different than a destination. What's always so is the miracle of this being absolutely silent with respect to its own nature, its own radioactive presence.
The silence is so different in this world than normal consciousness. So mm-hmm. different, it's almost like not of the same world.
Well, folks like Jesus, you know, shit that he really said, apparently. You know, be in this world, but not of this world. And that intimacy, the revelation of one's own radioactive intimacy, is that. Effortless erasure of self. No assignment. So the yoga is really quite simple. You travel on a curious arc, which looks like the imagination of your life, and you discover various tools to work with, to learn, to explore, to expand, to knock on wood, to find out what you're made of. And you encounter all kinds of machines, all kinds of theories, all kinds of theorems, all kinds of authorities posing as helpmates, all kinds of posers posing as posers. That are enrolling you for your affection and your adulation and your interest and your money and your sex and whatever they can get from you, and they're not satisfied either.
It's a zoo out there.
It's a zoo out there. It's an absolute zoo. Wounded by the machine. Okay.
Just another mother puppy.
Yeah. Then as your arc, you know, matures, maybe you get a little older, who knows, a little wiser,
a little desperate.
Sure, they all count. They all work. You become somehow curiously available, not through any decision, choice, will, or vow that you could possibly make, but you somehow become curiously available to a depth of intimacy, a depth of silence, a depth of immediacy, which cannot be contrived. And through that gate, you see that the noise of yourself is contrived. And you withdraw your loyalty from the noise of yourself. And you figure out somehow how to rest in this. That's it.
Preferably with snacks and some friends.
Snacks, friends, coffee, walks, swimming bears.
Swimming bear?
That's your native name?
Jeff Swimming Bear.
My native name?
We're going to call him Swimming Bear.
Shukadeva Swami. Native name. Really.
What you're describing is sounds like a belief, but it can't be a belief.
It won't work as a belief.
Then you have the machine again.
Yeah, that's right. It won't work as a belief. That's right.
But yeah. For purposes of communication, well, it comes out soundly.
Everything is communication. I mean, that's the nature of communication, right? I mean, it's subjective, objective, and all that. So it's like, you know, that's the leap, I guess, you know.
Discovering the silence of yourself has nothing to do with belief. Nothing to do with superstition.
It's more the suspension, Sarah. Right?
Suspension or cessation. Yeah, that's why the Buddha perhaps used those two in tandem, nibbana and cessation. Right? Because the revelation of nibbana, nirvana, which is this intimacy, by contrast, is the cessation of the noise of self. Yeah. Yeah. You can see how one's identity, one's sense of individuation is fueled by noise, by association. And as you have, you could say, occasional or more frequent encounters with the conscious absence of yourself, with the intimacy with intimacy. Oh, well, oh, I'm not made of anything. This isn't made of anything. It doesn't start, it doesn't stop, it has no genesis.
And you're stupid. Another stupid question.
It's all put on dog collars.
Okay. If you're saying what you're saying.
If I am.
While not in the presence of the silence. Then is it a belief that is a machine? Is there. Like when you say these things,
yeah.
But I could say something
yes,
like
you could.
That, and I have. But I was in the belief mode. I wasn't in the...
Maybe you were in, a little of each.
I was on, like, the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland, is what you're saying.
Hookah?
Like, if you're reporting on something that happened in the past,
yeah,
then it's a belief. But if it's happening now and you're reporting on it, then it's...
But isn't that why some people can speak with such an amazing, inclusive, depth? And others, it sounds like they're sort of reading script or something.
Maybe.
Because they're reporting,
Yeah.
But those that are not reporting, just speaking from the well.
Okay.
I mean, there's such a difference.
That makes sense.
Yeah, feel the well. Drop into the fucking well. Send the bucket back up. Stay in the well.
Tune in, turn on,
drop out.
And do drugs.
And by all means, do drugs. What? You want me to get through this shit without drugs? Are you fucking crazy? Oh, God. Each encounter with the revelation of your own intimacy, your own radioactivity, your own autonomy, each encounter is, profoundly nourishing, profoundly instructive, profoundly creative. And then, you flip back into mind or the noise of self and fine, okay. I mean, what can you do about yourself? Once you're in the noise, what can you do about yourself? Do no harm, keep a low profile. or harm everyone, and make a lot of noise about it. I don't know. But this really just cuts right through the noise of self without having to resolve or conclude or feel better about anything. You're just cutting through the entire engine, the machine of the noise of self. And you're like, oh, phew, fuck me. Glad I didn't have to work myself out. I don't have to work myself out. Pathetically neurotic in a million ways, right? Like anyone, like everyone. But you don't have to work yourself out. Let's say you go to the boiler room on a big cruise ship. You can't hear anything but the boiler. I mean, they wear headgear.
Yeah, it's loud.
It's just boiler. It's just... That's it. That's this. That's it. It's excruciating. It's intolerable.
Wake you up in the morning.
Yeah, it can.
But at least that goes to gray. That goes to fuzz, It's when there's peaks here and there and there. That's what grabs your attention.
Contrast.
Yeah.
Contrast fuels attention. Yeah. Expressive attention. it's real interesting that, you know, the eyes can remain open and obviously available to all that is seen or heard or felt, and still you're... you're not seeing anything. You're not hearing anything. Nothing lures you into personhood. Nothing lures you into objects. And yet, here we are, object heaven. If you want a cup of tea, you can get a cup of tea, you know. If you have to make a phone call, you make a phone call. If you have to, you have to call in sick and leave a message on the answering machine at work that says, take this job and shove it, I'm not working here no more, well, you can do that too. This is not a remedy for the imagination of one's life. It's the cessation of the imagination of one's life. Always at hand. Yes. Question there.
Oh, no one.
you're writing a poem.
I'm having an experience. Mm-hmm. Well, shall I tell you? Yeah. Well, as usual, it's going to be difficult. But caterpillar. That's everything I do. It means as much as a fucking caterpillar right there. You got a caterpillar there. And then yesterday, caterpillar. And tomorrow, caterpillar. And then next week, caterpillar.
And that's you as the caterpillar.
That's what I do with my life.
Where's the fungus?
Okay.
Where's the
fungus? That's how much meaning it all is. I'm sorry. Somebody asked me.
Yeah.
Cannibal.
Right. So there's a certain fascination, right? A fun fascination that accompanies, seeing the, let's say, the thinness of your continuity. Of your relevance, of your durability, of your choices.
The value of all my hard work.
Yeah, that's right. The value of all your hard work. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Caterpillar.
Caterpillar it is.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, rest of my life. Is there not a butterfly in this whole story anywhere?
No, caterpillar and caterpillar fungus.
A butterfly.
And a hookah.
Oh.
Hookah.
That'd be a butterfly at the end of the story somewhere.
Okay, I'll let you know.
So, what'll happen, you know... Read my blog. There is a certain thrill of that there might be something to discover about yourself. There's not. We think, is there a thing to discover? No, there's not.
There appears to be a shitload to discover, and none of it means anything.
Well, then that's the machine. Mm-hmm. That's the machine. That's whipping up the frenzy of one's psychic disappointments and irritabilities, and then doing JYNs and all the way these religions have you do some kind of JYN. Everyone's trying to enroll you in what it is that you should do about the illusion of yourself. But if you lift even a dull pencil to do something about the illusion of yourself, what are you contributing to? The imagination that you can have some kind of quiescent revolution or revelation or outcome for you in the so-called future. And you can't, because you are of the nature of a presently appearing myth. And the myth of you didn't begin at conception or birth or when at 2 years old you went, no! That's not when the myth of you began. You know when the myth of you begins? Here. 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 There is no genesis for the myth of yourself. It only occurs here. Whoa. You mean shouldn't I call my therapist about this? No. Or why not?
Or would you say it's constant reifying?
You're looking at the engine of the noise of self, which reification is a perfect, you know, metaphor for. Yeah.
Unless we held these standards.
These truths to be self-evident.
A moment ago. We'll just take those and hold them again.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could go somewhere.
You might go somewhere with it. Start a revolution or something. Who knows? Or refresh one. Yeah.
You know, it's a story.
We know that.
This is a very good caterpillar story.
Oh, good.
Really good.
You're going to start a whole series of children's books.
So Emily got her transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And she flunked out of school one year from absences.
Yeah.
To which I spent
mm-hmm.
almost $5,000 having her tutored.
Right.
And I got the transcript and she flunked out a whole year. And I'm like, oh my God, they didn't. It looked like they didn't apply the tutoring work. I could be wrong. But right. Then I was like cut to the quick.
Oh, of course.
I was a caterpillar.
Oh, yeah.
All that fucking work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
Anyway, that's the story.
Yeah. Has it since resolved or no? Still in limbo?
I went and looked at my emails. I'm trying to find the dates and work it out. It's possible that she flunked out possible that I'm wrong. I can't quite figure it out. Yet,
okay.
But I will continue. I've got emails from
teachers.
Best of luck.
Well, I'll call them and fix it.
Whatever happened to S's court date with that bus incident?
Oh, how did that work out? Oh, God, well, I think there was a fine. Yeah, fine. Minor fine.
A minor fine.
$200.
No points.
Right.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
good.
He's okay. He's happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the word. So it did cost me.
Yeah, well, it's worth it. This degree of erasure. There's nothing to resolve in the imagination of your life or your relationship with people that have been good, bad, indifferent, or terrible. I mean, this really wipes clean the present engine of the imagination of self. So you're not resolving all the shit that happened prior to now. You're not fixing any, you know, anything in your future that might turn, you know, ugly. You're just... You're not putting... nuts in your jowls for when it gets cold again, you know? like so many of us would like to say, well, I went and did this and I went and did that and they gave me tools and resources and things to do and things to consider and so I could try to mitigate some of my future suffering because now I think of things a different way. I mean, that's just, you know, load up the wagon. Me and myself are heading out.
Oregon Trail.
Really. Load up the wagon, Missy. We're heading out.
Grab the caterpillars, put them in the bucket.
Put the caterpillars in a bucket.
Bring
them in. Tie the yak to the back of the wagon and let's go. When we get to the river, we can do some JYNs.
If we have time.
But the Cherokee are hot on our tail.
Is that John Wayne?
You have to be doing a lot of JYNs after being in a little wagon with
John
someone all day.
Neutron bomb.
Sure was a sorry day when I saw I wasn't made of anything. Really?
Caterpillars.
It's probably a good night to take you to Applebee's and get drinks and appetizers.
Caterpillar salad.
If we take Pat to Applebee's, we get, and we buy, of course, you know, a
you can't really drink beer to get
half price drink.
Do you want me to call and see who's managing?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if I can get my hands on a, you know, a whiskey sour and some nachos for like half price.
I got a
margarita
today.
Anything to dull my pain.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little shame. I think we should go out and get something to eat.
Emotional, physical, all of it.
Yeah.
But like 10 grapes aren't enough.
No.
Wow, you got pretty light shame. If grapes can satisfy you.
She's done a lot of JYNs.
Yeah. She's pretty light on the shame if she can, like, mitigate it with some grapes.
Yeah.
No, we need, like, you know, mixed drinks and fried stuff. I'm really ashamed.
Fried foods.
I'm having emotions. Oh, I know. I'll get something to eat.
What an inspiration.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there must be some kind of like soothing mechanism in the esophagus. You know? Mm. Any questions? Did we miss anything? Did we leave any stone unturned? It's one of those again. What's too stupid?
That's why people are so stupid.
It's a caterpillar thing.
Chimp thing.
Chimp thing.
Chimps are rough.
You know, they say get out of your head and get into your heart, stuff like that. Don't stop there.
Get all the way into your stomach.
Go to your stomach, then keep going.
Little thing.
Yeah.
End up in the toilet and then flush.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you think you can actually, you know, land in your heart, that's another machine. That's another idea.
First heart.
You know. And that's not to put down, you know, the miraculous, right, empathy that's possible for a so-called human being to feel. Mm. You know. and love and gratitude and ecstasy and, you know, everything else. I mean, you know, rock on. But this is destination free. This is not, this intimacy is not represented by an organ. It's truly transcendent and not dependent on, you know, the vibratory vicissitudes of one's body.
I'm going to go now, make sure he doesn't leave. The guy who said we have the free. Do you mind?
No, I'm. If anyone else wants to go,
all day and
I'm happy to. You know, we've put this thing to bed. We can get out of here and go get.
You can take your time.
A whiskey sour and you know.
Yeah, I'm in.
That empanada.
Is there money? Oh my God! Look.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and thanks for your questions. They really came in handy this evening.
Hi, baby.